When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here back with my brother, Devin.
Hello,
Devin. All right, what are you going to start off with this evening?
You're going to have to guess who this is, but I think you'll be able to get it. Someone we know.
Okay.
All right. Blessed with hard work.
Brian House.
Yeah. I
the shortest quote of all time.
Yeah.
Three words.
I just messaged him on Instagram. What was I talking about? Oh, I was just asking about reels and shorts and stuff and how much he does, because it seems, you know, they're pumping out a bunch.
Right.
So he was giving me some tips of what they do, and then just talk to him for a minute, and I'll say, man, you're kicking ass, you got a million products, like everything seems to be going well. He's like, yeah, blessed with hard work, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you got to put that on a t-shirt, and that's like, yeah, the most Brian House thing to say, you know.
blessed with hard work.
I was like, yeah, right on, cool. I liked it was nice, simple, you know.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's probably, yeah, I mean, it's been said before, but it's, you know, it's definitely a Brianism.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's his whole thing. Hard work, you know, working for it, working hard, always working. I mean, you know, I guess that's his thing, but I like working on stuff.
His shtick is hard work.
I like working hard sometimes, but you know,
he does it. It's his goal
life.
In business. It's good. It's a good angle to have.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, you know, he's definitely got the following. He has the he's earned a good following, and people like seeing what he does, and he puts cool content out there, you know, showing what he's making, and he's always pushing, you know, he's trying something new.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, Dustin's two grinders are, one is a pre-revolution, and then one's a revolution grinder. Both of them were built by Brian, and also this podcast wouldn't exist without Brian, so.
It's true. Yep. Yeah, and he... Yeah, they're both revolutions. It's a generation one revolution and then a generation four revolution is what I have. So, but yeah, Brian was, he was the one who, when, Craig Lockwood from the Knife Talk podcast, started the Makery Network, he, asked Brian to join, and Brian started work for it. And then, Craig asked for, you know, the people who were part of, the Makery Network to suggest some more podcasts to join the network, and Brian suggested that we start a podcast. So like, we didn't even have a podcast. He was like, there should be an Art of Craftsmanship podcast on the network. So Craig reached out to us, and we were like, oh yeah, maybe we'll start that.
And that was the last time we heard from him.
170 episodes ago.
Oh my gosh.
No, in those first, like, yeah, the first group, you know, the first 30 or 40, whatever it was, you know, the first year and a half when we were on the first platform, which I can't remember what that was, something with the M.
He would upload them, yeah.
Yeah, so we would send stuff, and he would add in different things. And yeah, and then, yeah. But I mean, he reached back out to us a couple of times, let us know that he really liked the audio. He thought we were doing good. We really liked the show, and what he wanted was from a network was just people who were going to consistently, you know, put up podcasts, put up good content, and not just stop doing it and, you know, never come back. Like, be consistent, be something that's reliable, which is, I think, you know, part of the drive to keep us doing what we've done is just, we know that there's a group of people out there that listen each week, and, you know, that we're keeping them company. And I love that, you know?
I think it's cool. I think it's good for us just to keep our mind focused on stuff, on the craftsmanship, because we would go a month or two without even discussing it, I think, if we didn't keep this up.
But right.
Anyway, yeah. Let's get into things.
Yeah, man.
Got an awesome package to arrive today at your place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we, a couple weeks ago, you let me know that you had seen a new camera from DJI. And so, you know, you were telling me a little bit about it, and we were looking at it and thinking how it would be an interesting camera. And I think the idea, like, was that there's this corner of the, like, making community things that we do that isn't captured as much. And that's, like, the hunt and the, like, the day-to-day stuff of makers, you know, kind of like following along. Like, there is vlog style things, and that's out there in like, you know, stories on Instagram and things like that, but it's not so much videos, not as much vlog style stuff.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of those all around where people walk. It's either walking tours of places, which I like, which are very chill. I'll just pop on and fall asleep at night, you know.
Yeah,
right. Some Japanese town or something, some festival in England, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But then
yeah.
There's also I'll watch some. The fun thing about those, I mean, like watching American Pickers and stuff, you kind of watch anyone interested about anything in the hunt. Yeah. So, like, there'll be a guy looking for toys or something. I don't really care about toys, but he'd be like, oh, this is an old blah, 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 and this is Flash Gordon, and oh, this is an old Star Wars toy, and he's just walking around picking stuff up and pointing them out, and he'll buy, like, one thing, but the
excitement is contagious and infectious. You know? It's like, And so, it's like that hunt, you know, you're like, oh, maybe what are they? Because that's the thing, too. We all love, you know, the treasure hunt. You know, it's like ever since most of us were kids, you know, like make a treasure map and look for the treasure and find it. Maybe you find it. Maybe you don't. Like that's half the fun of actually going to place like flea markets and antique shops and things like that is the hunt. And then, you know, finding cool stuff and maybe you find something that, you know, hopefully someone else doesn't know it's worth, or they don't at least don't know it's worth to you. Right. Like, I've been looking for this one thing for a long time and really isn't like worth all that much. But for me, it's got a lot of worth, right? Cause it's the thing that I've been looking for. So
Yeah,
that was your idea that, like, I'm always going to places like that looking for things and finding cool things, and I'll show up, you know, you come up over to the shop and we're going to film, and I'm like, oh, look at these cool new things I found, and I'll tell you about them, and so you're like, well, that'll be a perfect thing. We've talked about that a little bit in the past.
We have, but, and the GoPro kind of works, but it doesn't look that great.
Right,
yeah. And this new DJI Pocket 3 is amazing. It's got a big old sensor. It's got a gimbal on top, that's the whole thing. It can shoot vertical or horizontal. It tracks. I tried the tracking dust on my face. I just sat up in front of me and kind of walked around and looked at it and did stuff, and it followed me.
That's wild.
The camera turned and tracked me. I was like, oh my gosh, it works. But it's gorgeous. I'm gonna send you, see if this comes out. First thing, I'll just send this. Let's see if it goes over Messenger.
All right.
And you can watch it and just kind of take it in. I'll describe it. So I walked around the yard I went and got it at Dustin's house because they wouldn't drop it off without signature. So I guess you left the note.
Yeah. So was it, we ordered it 4 or 5 days ago, paid some extra money to get it shipped quicker, and then got the email that like it was supposed to deliver yesterday, the day it was, you know, was that May 1st, and then got an email shortly after that it was like, your email's been rescheduled till tomorrow. And so we were both like, well, that's bullshit. You know, like, we paid for extra shipping. Like, why didn't it get on time? You know, like, what's the point of paying extra?
Right.
Then come to find out that it was because somewhere, I guess, like, I didn't check it off. Maybe something in just the amount of the cost of the camera and what DJI does when they send it out. They require a signature to receive the camera. And my wife and I both work full time, so neither of us were home, and Corinne was at school. Right. So it came at whatever, 9:45, and then they left a note on the door, UPS, saying, like, you know, we try to deliver it, it requires a signature, and then I flip it over and looking for the thing on the back that says like, no, it's not like that you can sign off that says, go ahead and leave it. Like, I'm not going to be there. And it wasn't a spot for me to sign. They had like crossed it off, whatever. So I talked to you and you were like, yeah, maybe just write a note on it, you know, and sign it and see if they'll leave it. And if not, then the second day they'll probably just take it back to the UPS store. We can get it from there or whatever.
All right.
So I did that and they did leave it. And then you came and stole it from my porch.
Yeah, a porch pirated it.
Yeah, you did.
Like, shit, someone did take it. Why'd you leave it?
That's bullshit.
I did not authorize that officially.
Yeah, right, exactly. I didn't do anything now.
All right, so signature. Yeah. Did you get it?
I did. I'm waiting for it to load right now.
Okay. Well, it is 3.5 minutes.
Now. Okay.
And then I also want you to... Maybe you can mute and watch it because I want you to hear the audio as well.
Okay,
because the audio is actually really good, and that's with that. And the pack that we got does come with a wireless DJI mic,
right?
So you can stick that on you just like we do already for our full videos.
Yeah,
but the mic in the camera is really good. Like I heard it was good, so that's I just walked around the yard and tested it out.
So this was you had the DJI mic on you.
No.
This is just the camera mic.
Just the camera mic.
Nice. Okay. So you said that the mic comes with it. Is that like it's like built into it or is it just in the package or whatever?
Well, it comes there's a wireless mic that comes it's its own mic, just like we have the DJI mics.
Right.
It's comes separate. You pin it on yourself and it wirelessly goes to the camera.
And that's just in the case or whatever.
It's in the case, camera. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because like with the DJI mics, you know, it comes with a little case, the charging case that has everything like set into it.
Yeah. It has a case, but it's not a charging case. So we just have to charge it up when we want to use it.
Okay. Still loading. Did I just see a picture of the inside of your kitchen?
So
you were able to stop by my house today and actually pick it up that they did leave it behind. So you got home, played with it a little bit, which is cool.
Yeah, no, it looks awesome. The audio is great. The autofocus is great.
Mm.
I think it's gonna. And I wasn't sure about the gimbal and like if you just tilt down and try to look at something, whether it would like level out, you know. Right.
Yeah.
But
it
actually kind of it's pretty intuitive. You kind of tilt your hand down and look at something. It just goes. It will also point down.
Oh, that's wild. But if you're just walking straight and it kind of, maybe it's, I wonder if
it levels out straight and kind of flat.
Okay.
And then you also have a joystick on the front of it to do slow moves any other way you want. So if it's like looking left and you're walking straight, you just move the joystick to the right and it'll straighten out.
Right.
And you can change the speed of the joystick. So it won't be like a big jolt if you go left or right. It'll be real smooth.
Oh, that's sweet. Right on. It's cool. Yeah. And so we were like, you know, we're thinking about different places to use it and take it to, you know, like you said, like different thrift stores and things. And also, just to have like an extra camera around to shoot with whatever, you know, especially like moving things. I do like the tracking. That's kind of cool. You know, if like I'm doing something or shooting like an ending to, you know, we found something I want to show it is in the shop, you know, I can kind of put it down. Oh, there it goes. And then, you know, like it'll track my face around stuff and show stuff. I like that idea. That's pretty sweet, you know?
Yeah.
Like having that active tracking. All right. So I'm going to listen to it real quick. I'm going to mute myself and listen to it and then I'll be right back. I'll just listen to like a little bit to hear the audio.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can listen to it.
I guess it's fine. We can hear it too. The audience can hear what I'm hearing. I have one of my my earpiece is off like you. DJ style. There we can hear Devin. Oh, dang. It's so smooth.
Isn't it?
That's awesome.
Look how nice it looks.
Oh, yeah. And you point down to the table as it goes
see how
down with
it,
you.
It focuses. You can see, look how it focuses on my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure like if you like held up for a second, you're like, you know, holding something, it would adjust pretty quick. That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm just walking around pointing down at things, pretending. And then I walk across the yard, and then you see me go out into the field, and you can see how nice it looks.
Yeah. When it goes and even like in the darkness of the field with the sun, like the brightness past it, it's still a really good image. You know, like it's obviously dark in the trees, but it's not
right.
Like so dark, you know, you can kind of still see what's there. Oh yeah.
Doesn't it look awesome?
Yeah, it looks really nice. Really clear, like mm-hmm. nice. You know, it feels like a good camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looks like you're walking out with like a high quality, you know, digital camera.
Right.
Oh, and it shifted really quick. When you turned back around and walked back into the woods.
Yeah, the lighting.
The ISO shifted really quick. Yeah.
So the autofocus and the ISO, yeah, everything is real quick to respond.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, it's like the point is for you to just grab it out of the case.
Yeah.
Turn it on and then walk into wherever and not have to be fumbling with, all right, let's change this and that and this.
Right.
And you can see, I tilt up at the treehouse. This is just the thumbstick right there, right? See, it's kind of fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You can do stuff like that.
That's cool. Yeah.
And
so,
then, like,
yeah,
so then I look down at the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's something on the table there.
I like that Alfie's just running with you the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Devin's dog.
He was so excited just to go out. He's like, hey, what are we doing?
But I wasn't like, yeah, with him, like it keeps him in focus, but other things are in focus and like, you know,
yeah.
It looks good.
And then we go inside and you can see that it's really, it's amazing. The low light inside, there was just maybe, I think there's just the oven light on.
Right.
Or the light above the oven, you know, the little cheapo. And I mean, you can see how nice it.
Yeah. It just shifted really quickly and gave us like plenty of light. Yeah.
Like for just one tiny light being on, it really.
It looks awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's like fully clear, fully, you can see everything. Obviously, it, like, you know, if you're walking into a dark area, it's not, you're not filming. I'm not going to like hold up a ton of little things inside of a dark area. I'll probably show them in a clear area, but even still, like it still shows plenty. Yeah.
Well, let's check and see how close I can.
Close up, yeah.
And then that's then you can see the autofocus on my hand when I watch like real quick.
Yeah, like a second. Focus you back, put your hand up, a second later, focuses. Yeah. That's sweet. Nice.
And then I see, sorry, folks, is that the one the most exciting as we're kind of explaining it, kind of not, but I wanted to show Dustin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing I shot, and it was
right.
It was great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. And Devin and I are going to be at Chris Cash's tool sale this Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Mount Phillip Metalworks. I'm going to be out there and using the camera, do a little,
do a full walk around,
a little treasure hunt. Yeah. Full walk around, look at cool stuff. You know, I'm always looking for cool old tools, and that's everything that Chris sells. So it's hard to go to his place and not come away with at least a few cool things. But yeah, that'll be fun. Super fun. He's got like a ton of cool stuff. And there's always fun people there too. So, you know, he'd be like just saying hi to people and whatnot. And,
yeah, I feel like
it's gonna be cool.
Well, like say hello to everybody and then be like, mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna shoot a 10-minute thing.
Yep.
And just walk around. Hopefully it's not too rainy because that's the downfall camera. The downfall of the camera is not waterproof at all. So
okay.
If it's rainy, you gotta put it away.
Yeah, I guess if it's like if you're under an umbrella, you know, kinda mm-hmm. hold it. I wonder if like holding the camera and the umbrella at the same with the same hand. Well, then that way I'd have the other hand like
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, Chris's stuff is all underneath, so we should be fine at least. You right. know,
at least, cover. Yeah. So,
majority
that'd be fun. I think it'll look really good. It comes with an extra battery. It comes with an extra, like the mic. It comes with a case. It comes with an extra wide-angle lens cover you can put on the front. So,
oh, nice. Right on.
It's really nice.
Sweet. Man, that's exciting. It's cool. And Devin and I know maybe we talked about this real briefly before we were looking, you know, on the last podcast about getting some money out from Patreon and from Spring, from people who have supported us by buying our merchandise or just support mm-hmm. us on Patreon. And the amount of money that we were to take out was exactly the right amount of money for the camera. So, you know, we added a couple extra bucks on for shipping and some insurance, but other than that, it covered literally exactly the right amount for the camera and an SD card to store, you know, everything on. So that's awesome. You know, it's always that's one of those humbling moments, right? That we like really feel like, you know, putting the time and effort into doing these type of things, like doing the podcast and doing the videos, like even if, you know, we're not getting millions of views, we still have like a good solid group of people out there that really appreciate what we're doing. And they support us by watching and by, you know, buying stuff, and by some of them, you know, support us financially with Patreon. Like, it's awesome. But like, that's really cool. You know?
Yeah. It adds up.
Yeah, it does.
We wouldn't buy that camera unless we're talking about it, but it's a,
right.
You know, it's a good chunk of money, $300-$400 each.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's like a school payment and, the grocery run, and, you know, it's all the normal things that normal people pay for. And so it's nice to be able to have that money kind of aside that we know that, you know, we can devote to the channel. And we know that, you know, all that, like the money people are giving us is going exactly right back into the channel as often as possible, you know?
Yeah.
So you're literally paying for, you know, the money and the support is all going right back into bringing cool stuff back to the channel.
Yeah, for sure.
So that'd be fun. I'm
looking. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's one of the things that it gives us the, or as we were talking about, you know, trying new things, like what can we do? What new things can we do? Right? Because it's always like looking forward to new things for the channel. And you had the idea of getting the camera and doing some of the, like, you know, American Picker type searching, like kind of vlog style when I'm in a place like that. And then, and then also doing the 1 hour builds, which is another kind of fun thing that we thought might be kind of fun to do something different on the channel. And what was else? Something else I was going to say, I can't remember, but yeah. So it should be fun, trying some new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm just looking forward to watching where you go and, like, you know, it's not just flea markets. It's like cool old antique shops, like in little towns. So you start outside and then you know, I'm sure you'll go in first and introduce yourself. Hey, I'm just going to walk around with the camera. I'm looking for tools. My name's Dustin, you know, but then go back outside.
Yep.
Like, look at the outside of it and just walk in and keep the camera rolling for, if you're in there for 20 minutes, keep it rolling for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if there's some bumping and you got to do something, you got to grab your phone, obviously. But, you know, we want to keep as much of it as possible of just it being like you're there walking around a little antique shop.
Yeah. And most of the time when I'm in a place like that, you know, there's enough, enough things that are close enough together that I can kind of just search straight through. Like when I went to the big outdoor flea market or the indoor outdoor flea market, it was, you know, I guess less things than, less booths that were exactly what I was looking for. So kind of just turn it off, getting clips. And that was what I was doing it on my phone, you know, just trying to get shorter clips of searching through that those,
makes sense on your phone,
those booths. But, you know, either way I was, you know, it wasn't so much, you know, in between that I couldn't have just had the whole thing running the whole time. So
yeah, cool. No, I just, you know, want you to get used to just having it run, having it in your left hand or whatever, wherever you want. Yeah. Cause right, you'll probably sort through stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And you can switch obviously hands and do stuff, but just let it run.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be fun.
It's pretty comfortable to hold.
Right. No, that's cool. Yeah. What's the weight of it? You know, it's cause it seems fairly small.
It's light, you know, it's all plastic, you know, it's
right. Yeah.
And there's an extra handle attachment. Actually, there's two. There's one that has a battery in it. One that's just a little extra handle, but it's enough for a bigger hand to really grab onto it.
Right on.
But the one handle is an extra battery attachment too. So you hook it into it and you get double the battery life. So, you know, you could walk around for 2 hours if you wanted.
Yeah.
it would stay on and running. So,
and then what's the, I guess the life of how much you can film, that's just how big your card is.
Yeah. I think it's something like 8 hours.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
So
that's a lot. That's plenty.
You know, a whole trip of going around doing stuff. And it has so for you, if you did something short, and you hadn't sent me the clips yet for a full one.
Right.
You can, it has a really nice editor in it.
Oh.
And the editor has nice templates. Like I put together little I just fed the clip into a template thing, an AI template maker, and it made a short for it. Mm. You know, with like music and all, which is kind of silly, but yeah. Like, so I chopped it up a little bit, clipped stuff out of that. Mm. Like what I sent to you, actually, you know, you could see that it jumped around a little bit. I just trimmed out bits real quick.
Right, right.
Like, all right, I walk for a minute here. I trim that out and delete it. So you'll be able to, you know, you could drag it in yourself and.
Yeah. Is it.
It's all there ready to go.
Is it like Bluetooth enabled or anything like that, or Wi-Fi enabled?
It connects to your phone, so you can.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So you can transfer right clips right to your phone.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
I think you can. Yeah, because you edit in your phone.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And it actually has a live view, kind of like the GoPros. It has a live view from your phone, and you can actually control the gimbal from your phone. So you can, like, sit across the room and then look around with it. Like,
oh, that's great. Yeah. So if you want to set it up and move across the room, make sure you're, you know, in frame or whatever, you can adjust it that way, too. You can
pull up your phone and look and move.
Adjust the head. That's crazy. That's awesome. Man, that's sweet. I'm excited. That'd be fun.
High tech stuff.
Yeah, that's sweet.
But yeah,
so what's the, you know. What's the camera again, you said? The actual name.
DJI Osmo Pocket 3.
Ooh, Osmo Pocket 3. And you said it was like a buddy of yours at work who had one, and so you saw your player on.
He brought it in. Yeah, a camera guy at work. Yeah, well, he actually also runs the Loyola video department too, so.
All right. Nice.
He knows what he's doing. So he came in with it and was, "Hey, Dev, check this out," and we were playing with it. I was like, "Oh, this is so nice."
Yeah,
I just like the form factor, and I like the simplicity of it. Mm. And right away, I thought about giving it to you, where you don't have to mess around with a bunch of stuff.
Right, right.
You just pull it out of your pocket, turn it on. You don't even have to push an on button. You flip the screen, and it powers on, and the gimbal pops up. Like, it's so cool.
Ready to go. DJI is like, you know, an industry standard now, obviously for drones, but also for mics, you know, where everyone used to use the what's it called?
Rode.
Yeah, the Rode mics. Now everyone you see has DJI mics. You know, it's like, I mean, there's still people use Rode mics back and forth, but like almost everybody has the DJI mics, and that's just so, you know, it's like a quality thing that's tested, and whether or not, like, you know, the newest thing they put out is tested, you know, they're not going to put out something unless it's a quality item. No. So,
and it's the third version of it. And I wanted to buy the first one they ever had out like 3 years ago. I said, man, this is cool. And this one's so much better than that one.
Right. Yeah.
So I saw it. I saw his, I was like, oh, it looks nice. And he showed me like a time lapse. I was like, oh, it looks good, but you can't really tell. It's like a 2-inch screen. So I went on YouTube and searched for people using it, and like, holy cow, like the travel logs people do with it. Like, it looks like, the image quality is great. Yeah. Really, really good. So, like, it's beautiful. It's better than GoPro. Like I said, it looks like a real deal, a really nice camera. Like, our cameras.
And what's it shooting in? What quality? Is it like 4K or can you change it?
Yeah, it shoots four. You can change it whatever you want, but it goes up to 4K. Nice. Any frame rate you want. So we'll be shooting 4K, 24 frames, and it can go up to, like, I think if you drop it down at 1080, it can go to 240 frames per second. So it can shoot really good slow mo.
Oh, right on.
Sweet. So if you were walking around and something was cool, you could switch it into slow mo mode, boop, and it'll just start. It'll show you the slow-mo stuff. And it'll play it back in slow-mo, too, which a lot of cameras don't do. Like, they won't give you the preview. Usually, it's more of a premium thing. Like, on our cameras, it does. It'll play it back in slow-mo, so you can see it right away. And so this one also does that.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because it's DJI and their, like, whole... you know, their whole technology is getting smaller and cheaper and more affordable. It's not like a, you know, it's not a multiple thousands of dollar camera. You know, it's still like a good price camera, but it's within budget. Like you said, we paid just over $700 for everything. So,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. We'll start doing those soon. And when we go to events, we'll, like, you know, you go to, we'll, I'm sure we'll have a 30-minute walk around of Maker Camp.
Heck yeah. You know? Exactly.
Walk around, look around, saying hi to people, and just doing the full tour. Just a nice, cool, calm walk around.
Yeah, that'll be hard. It's not easy to walk around Maker Camp like in one go without being stopped and talking to somebody or seeing something.
You can still say hi. You got, but yeah, keep going, camera.
Yeah, once people see a camera on them, you know, they understand it's a different type of content creation. Like, oh, hey, there's that's good to see you. Yeah, that's great. I always think about this one video that Jimmy Duresta put out for, I think he was at like Workbench Con or something. I forget exactly what it was, but he was at a big show maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and he just put out a, I think it was maybe an Instagram reel or something, but he was sitting at a table in the evening, like having dinner with a bunch of people. And he was just like, he just took his camera and he just like panned it around the table. And each person that was there just said their name, like, hey, I'm blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I make stuff. Like, that's what they said. They all were like, oh, I'm blah, blah, blah. And I make stuff. And you know, like some of them like mix it up a little bit, you know, like I create things, whatever. They were all saying that. I just thought that was fun. It was like, they all kind of got the gist of the content, you know. It was like, this is what you're going to do. This is me. And I make stuff. It was fun.
Yeah. Before I go to a place, I'm always looking up YouTube's like, what's it like?
Right.
You know, you're like looking for somebody who's been there and they've done a video about it. Mm-hmm. So I think just having these events we go to, just having a walk around, and you know, you can talk a little bit or not. Just it'll be great to have for people as a resource.
Yeah. And those, like, you know, often you go, you'll see something like that and it's got like a little bit of a sped up area. Like, you know, you might just get a little sped up area where they walk through the grass or something that doesn't have a lot of whatever, but instead of editing, so that way you still get the same, instead of like cutting into the clips, you still get the feeling of like the whole walk around by just like, you know, speeding up stuff. And then you come up to a thing, you're looking at a thing, you're like, I can imagine something like that. That'd be cool. You know?
Yeah.
So you get that whole feeling of it. Cause that's different too. You know, like if you haven't been to a place and you see someone do a video about it, if they're just like doing clips of different, you know, spots around the venue, you kind of get a feeling of what it's like, but not really. You don't get the feeling of like how big it is or what it is. And, you know, with something like Maker Camp at the Blackthorn, you know, that's a very specific location. It's a very like open space, a very like, you know, walk around, you can walk into things, you can kind of walk right up to people doing stuff. It's like super unrestrictive. So it's a very unique feel, I think, to an event like that. So it'd be cool to have a walk around like that and people really feel what it's like to be there at Maker Camp and see that, like all those people, like all these, like, you know, awesome, recognizable, down to earth makers that we all love and, you know, love to watch and love to follow on Instagram and YouTube. And they're all just around doing their thing and talking to people. And like, it's just, yeah. And to be able to have a camera like that, that just captures that type of thing, that'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. Man.
So, yeah. So you were able to stop by and pick up the camera today because you left work at a reasonable time after the Orioles beat the Yankees today.
Three out of four.
Heck yeah. That was awesome. I've been, I was kind of, you know, watching the first and second game. So it was like Monday and Tuesday. On my phone, just doing different stuff. I was sailing Tuesday night, but I was kind of, we were keeping, you know, track of what was going on. And then I was able to catch the last couple innings of the game afterward. But yesterday and then today, yesterday I was sailing again. So I missed the game, but I was, you know, turn on the radio right after we were finished sailing. And it was like, you know, the two to nothing loss for the Orioles. But just that one home run, man.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah. Give up one bad play and then that's the outcome of the game. That's rough. Yeah.
But today was just an onslaught. We really opened up against them.
That's great.
Bunch of home runs, bunch of hits. We just outplayed them every level. And that was great. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun this year.
Yeah, and you know, with them being like, they're equal to us in our division, like we're both at the top, you know, so it's good to come up against the one team we really need to play good against.
We were tied and now we're ahead by two games, I guess. So
yeah, right. We have the same amount of wins, but we have less losses. They have more losses than we do. So
it's a long season, but it was great to get the nice series win. 3 out of 4 is awesome.
Yeah.
So
take
the G off.
G off Federer.
Gee, y'all, Federer.
Well, I did watch, where was I watching? I forget. Maybe I was listening to something or watching something. There was like some, the basketball game was on. It was the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. And Jeff Fader is a big Knicks fan. And Jalen Brunson. When I was watching, it was like a minute and a half left in the first overtime. And it was like 97-97. And I saw him and just watched him like shoot a three and then go back and steal the ball and go back down and kind of just dribble through and do a layup and get like 5 points in the matter of like 4 seconds. And they actually went on and unfortunately lost that game, or unfortunately, I don't really care. But yeah, I guess I'm kind of rooting for him because Jalen Brunson's such this like underdog MVP guy for the New York Knicks. And I hadn't seen him play at all. You know, I've kind of heard about him, but just watching him just in those two plays in like under, you know, 10 seconds or whatever, 15 seconds, it was like super impressive at like how easy he was. He's got that, like, if people know Steph Curry, it's just that like flow on the court that seems like you're just kind of there doing your thing. It's just like playing like backyard basketball, you know. It's like, yeah, it just seemed like he was just kind of cruising along doing his thing and it wasn't that hard, you know, which is awesome. It was fun to watch, just like a little snippet. But yeah,
man.
good to be following the Orioles again. And we had our you know, rookie coming up, Jackson Holiday. He came up and didn't do great, but, you know, made an appearance, which is okay. You know, I think that's fine. I think they did what is good. Like, they gave him a good run at it, and he didn't do great. So they sent him back down a little while, get him building his confidence back up, and then, you know, have him come back up again. And I'm sure we'll see him again soon and see how he does, if he can do a little bit better next time up.
We got a lot of good young guys, and it's a great team. So it's fun.
Yeah, man.
So we did two videos since the last one, since we had to take a week off last week. Two good videos. I did a silent edit on the Viking eating spike. There's no music except for the last little bit.
Right.
Just to cover up the talking. It's always nice to have a little bit under some talking.
But yeah, the smithy just has a nice, like, the nice hum to the forge and the hammering. Yeah,
it didn't need it. And it was going to be quick-ish anyway, and it ended up being like 12 minutes. So it's like, we'll just do this one nice and quiet.
Yeah,
have you talking, you know, every 2 minutes. You would, I did this, and I'm going to do this next, and then you do it. It was nice. And I think it was clear to someone who actually wanted to do it.
Right. And I like that, you know, like, we've done, obviously, most of the videos that we do are very informative. You know, we're kind of walking through the process and I'm talking about the things that I'm doing, sometimes more than others. But you had the kind of the idea of the, like I said earlier, it's the 1 hour builds, you know? So like, what can we do that we can do in an hour that someone else could also potentially do in an hour? You know, or just like in a, you know, go down to your shop in the evening or in the daytime and come away with something finished. It's good for us, right? Because then it's something that we can shoot in a day and, right, you know, have content that comes out a little sooner. But it's also just a great thing to think about. You know, if you're thinking of like a small project, something you can do that doesn't, you know, most of the things that we do and most of the videos and things that I watch and that we like and the communities we're part of take a lot of skill and a lot of time to put together these videos that then we put out in a 10 or 15 or 25 minute video, you know, and it's like days and days of shooting and editing and, you know, which is great because we're showing the process of making these really cool things, but it's not as approachable. And I really like that about the idea of the 1 hour build.
Yeah. And, it's the idea of someone telling you something took them an hour to do. So even if you know you're new at it and you're not going to do as well as that person, but said it only took them an hour.
Right.
So if I set my mind to doing it, you know, go into the shop for a day or for, you know, whatever, if I go into the shop for a few hours, I should also be able to get it done.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I was wrong. I was going to say someone asked about how long it took to do in the comments, but it was actually someone talking about the wooden sword video.
Oh, okay.
they were asking about how long. I was going to be like, it's called an hour build.
1 hour build. Yeah, that was... hour. And even, you know, with we were kind of ready for it to take a little bit longer than an hour, just because it's something that, you know, when we're shooting, obviously everything takes a little bit longer because you kind of stop and think about what you're going to say and then shoot a thing over again. And
yeah, right.
But with this, it was like, you know, the processes of like forging are pretty immediate. It's not like I can do the same thing over and over and over again. You know, it's like once I do a thing, it's happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I'm, you know, drawing out a long taper on one end, you know, if you get 3 shots of it throughout that process, you know, each time I hit it, it's not like I can go back to square again and do it again, you know? So it's like, okay, well, it's already moving, you know? So even if we don't get 1 shot or we don't get the next shot, it's still 3 steps in forward in the process. So.
Yeah. And you know, I'm really focusing on always trying to clearly show what's being done, which a lot of people, they don't do it.
Right.
They're too focused on it looking cool.
Right.
Or it's like, I don't know. It's just, you have to, you find a balance. I mean, it depends on what the video is, but usually people want to see how it's done.
Yeah.
And if you can bring people into that, even if they're not going to do it themselves, it's like anything. It's teaching somebody how the sport works before you go to the first time into your first football game.
Right. Yeah.
It's teaching someone how something works. It's pointing out things to look for in a type of style of painting before people go to the museum, or as they walk in, they start to look at it. That's all it is. And you're going to be way more interested if you can follow along. Obviously, if it bores you, it bores you. There's nothing we can do about it. Some people, it's just not their bag, man. And they're probably not going to pull up a Viking fork video anyway, because that's
right.
What they're into.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But if you are kind of into it, I think it's your duty to show. Show it. That's the whole point. You're showing it. So show it. Let's see it.
Right.
Don't cut away if you don't have to. I mean, you do it. I do it. You know, it depends on the timing of the video, but you do it to keep pacing. But sometimes just let it. Let's see it. Let's see it happen. Like.
Right.
You know, there's a few shots of going for like a minute of you like doing something. It's just it's okay. Like, because there's a lot of change in that time.
Right. Yeah. So that's,
I want to see it. If I notice like, oh, this is the, okay. It really finally it stretched out, or you can see that everything got rounded over, or you can see what he did here. Right. You gotta let it breathe.
Yeah, that's like one of the reasons why I love the Woodwright Shop and Bob Ross, because they were just filming them the whole time, and obviously both of those things are the Bob Ross isn't as one take as the Woodwright Shop is, but it is, basically one take. You're just following them along, and the Woodwright Shop is just all one take. Like occasionally they'll have a cut to another camera, but it's just him, Roy Underhill, walking into the shop.
Yeah.
And then for however 22 minutes, going from introducing himself to having a finished, whatever part of the video that they were doing,
Yeah.
And that's that, right? You get to see him move. You get to see him okay, let me readjust how I'm sitting on this bench so that way I can do this thing. And you get to see him oh wait, this isn't the right tool, or this tool isn't working exactly right, so let me try it, or let me grab a sharper one, And that's all part of that feeling of being in the shop and hanging out and being part of the process, which I've always liked that about videos and about the way we do our videos, that you feel that way. And you will often push in real close on something that I'm doing, which is what I want to see most of the time when I'm watching other videos. I want to see a close-up shot to see it happening in, good detail. And then, but sometimes I do want to see back a little bit, the whole thing, how the person's standing or what they're doing, or, how they're using the tool. So, I think that kind of, I think you understand how you like to see something. And so that's the way you and I shoot, is the way we want to see it.
Right.
So
it's just being clear with what you're doing.
Right.
And not as flashy, and then it's all flash. Yeah. And for one, it's harder to do. It just takes more time. But I think you're losing. You're not necessarily losing something. It's a different style, and I feel like if you can get into the more immersive pace of a slower, simpler thing, it's overall better to be in it. It is like Bob Ross, or the Woodwright Shop, right? Because right away it's not flashy and cool. It takes a minute. But if you can get through the first couple minutes, then you're in it. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't matter. It might not catch your eye if you walk in the room and go, oh, that's cool. It might not be a cool slow motion spinny shot with everything, sparks flying everywhere. But it's if you commit a little bit of time, it's like a good book or something.
Exactly.
If you can get through the first 25, 50 pages, then now I'm really in it.
Because then you're along for the ride, right? You want to see how it ends up. It, comes out. So it keeps you in, because it's this is the next thing. This is the next thing. You can anticipate where it's going to go. And you're in that good story. Yeah.
You hope it's like a great hike instead of I don't know, a roller coaster.
Right. Yeah.
It's cool for 2 minutes, and it was really wowing, but something that a great 2-day hike is also a great experience.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a slow burn.
Yeah. Right? It's the difference between dirt biking down a trail at high speed, and it's all adrenaline and crazy, to hiking that same trail, seeing the detail along the way, and getting getting into the moment of what's happening,
That's fun. Yeah, it's good. And people might jump through it a little bit anyway. I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with people I Adam Savage or Jimmy or those guys, any of those guys, they're really long videos. Sometimes you just, I'm not too interested in this part. And you just kind of skip through and go, oh, they finished. All right. Well, now they're onto the legs. Yeah. Cool. And maybe you skip 5 minutes. That's all right.
Yeah.
And then you get back into it. Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What you're hoping.
Right. As the creator, you're trying to give people enough information and, not so much so they get bored of each part, but enough that, the people who want to delve into that portion of what you're doing have enough to really feel like they understand what happened. It's as you skip through, whoa, how'd that happen? How'd this get from here to here so quick? I saw you grind for 1 second, but I want to see how you're holding the knife or, what you were doing with the thing. Or I've been, for the last couple of days, I've been working with my junior architecture students on, like shop safety and skills with tools. So we were like, learn the chop saw, learn the circular saw, learned like the pop rivet gun and the grinder. You know, they're all making these prototypes for a design that they're working on. And so some of it's metalworking, some of it's woodworking. So I've been kind of teaching them that. And, you know, I take for granted the knowledge that I have and the confidence that I have in doing something, right? So like using a circular saw, I've done it, you know, 1,000 times. So I understand that, you know, when I start the circular saw, I'm going to start it without the blade's not going to be touching the wood. I'm going to kind of come up to the wood and touch the blade a teeny little bit to make sure I'm in the right spot. And if I am, that's great. And if I'm like cutting, you know, to make sure that the guide rails are flat to the material and all this stuff. And, you know, and the grinder is held, you know, it's a different way. And the drill is held a different way. And all these things that you kind of take for granted that people, not everyone just knows because they just haven't done it enough to know, right? So giving people enough information to know that even if someone's watching for the first time, they can kind of get the understanding of what you're doing in that moment, you know? And so that's kind of what I always kind of look for. You know, I'm not necessarily looking to explain every single step, but when you shoot, like when I'm looking back through to make sure that I see like a process and I see how I do it. And I think you always catch that really well. So it works well. Well, all right. Looks like, hold on. For some reason we lost Devin. All right. Hold on. Let's see if he comes back. Let me send him a message. We'll hang on for a second. He said he lost me. I'll ask him to sign back in. Sign back in. You're gone. So, but yeah, so that's like as, you know, as we are seeing that information in the videos, that's what I like to see. And that's what I think is important in a video is to be able to see that, like, just enough information each time that you kind of can understand what the process was. You're not like, you're not surprised that you get from one step to another and not see how that step was done. So we'll see if Devin joins us again. I'm sure he will. And if not, we'll have to sign out and come back in. But with the beauty and the magic of editing, you guys will only have to wait a split second. Okay. We lost Devin for a minute for some reason. He thought he lost me. I thought he lost him. He tried to come back in. It didn't work. But yeah, I was just mentioning about like just how I really enjoy being able to see each part of a video and know in the progression of how we got from one step to the next. And yeah, that if I want to see a, you know, like something happen, I want to know how that happened. And so that's what I'm usually looking for. So that could be a matter of like 10 seconds or it could be 3 minutes in a, you know, stop in a process. So like you said, like, okay, if we watch a person do this thing and we know they're working on the legs of a table, we're like, okay, well, we're not super interested in that. But, you know, maybe someone who did want to know that, you know, want to learn about that, they could watch and understand. Or you can kind of skip forward a little bit and go to the next interesting thing or whatever. So,
yeah.
But just that pacing and understanding, like making sure you're capturing enough stuff to show what's there. And I think that's the nice thing about the 1 hour build is that we, you know, when everything happens in an hour, then you don't feel like you have to cut out a ton of stuff to show it in a, you know, in a 15 minute video or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So, that'd be fun.
I thought it'd be fun to do a 24 hour or a 12 hour, a 1 day video because you can upload it now. How cool would that be?
You can upload like a super long video.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people, you know, there's a lot of 10 hour, 12 hour videos.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably throw off our all the actually, maybe it'll bump our average time watched way up because it's like, people leave it on for a few hours.
Maybe. Or they watch for like, you know, it's a percentage, like the click-through rate. And they're like, this is like, they watch for like an hour and it's only 10% of it or whatever. Like, man, that's not good at all.
That'd be cool. You could set up a few cameras, right? Walk around with the pocket, the DJI for a while, go out somewhere, look for stuff, to bring it back, rehandle it. Hang out, go to the smithy, do something, eat dinner with the things you made.
That's crazy.
Have some drinks, like make a fire, you know, at night, chill, and then end the video. Like,
A whole day. That's like, you know, that goes when we did the, what the 100th, did we, what is it, 100th video or something? We did the, or no, we hit 100,000 subscribers.
100,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we did the 4-hour long live stream. Yeah. It was fun, you know. We had people hanging out and watching with us, who were chatting and talking and giving away stuff and having a fire and drinking.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I like doing the live streams. Those are fun. I like the interaction. I think it's fun to, you know, hang out with people. I also like doing the premieres where you're like there commenting while we're watching. Like that was kind of fun when we did that for the 100th video, the Bo making video. That'd be kind of fun to do a little more often, but. Yeah. Yeah. So last thing I wanted was thinking about, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, doing sailing. I'm back to sailing. So
here we go.
Love me some good sailing. But yeah, so I spent 2 weekends ago, just basically Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, just working on the boat, getting ready to put in the water. So I painted Friday night. 2 layers of coat on, came back Saturday morning, did another layer of paint, and then went back to the boatyard Saturday night, and they had moved the boat, so they moved the stands that hold the boat, this out of the water. So I was able to sand and paint the stands, and then came back Sunday along with some of our crew and Drew, and we all sanded and then buffed the bottom and got it super, super smooth and super fast. So, and then we had our first wheat race on our boat on Gun on Wednesday last week. And we won, although we were the only ones in our division, so that's okay. But but we were super fast, and you know, it was just really nice to be out on the water. It was a perfect night. We had really good wind, perfect for our boat. And we're just felt really fast and really, you know, it was great. And then we came out again. Then this week I had our first race on Tuesday nights with the Baltimore City Yachting Association, and on the boat that I raced, and that was nice to go out with that whole crew. And then we had our second race on Gun this Wednesday, and again it was just a really, really nice night to be out last night. Really beautiful night on the water and good wind, and we had a really technical course, which was really good, because a lot of times our courses aren't super technical. They're just kind of like an up and back or like a triangle, and you know, they don't take as much like technique and strategy as I want a lot of times, you know. And I love that about sailing. I love kind of figuring out the best way to go and the best, you know, when to tack and when not to tack and where's the tide coming in and out and where's the better wind. And, you know, a lot of those, because sailing is a slow sport, you want that tactics to be part of it, because then it makes it that much more competitive and fun. And so it was a really technical course last night. We were only racing against one boat last night in our division. But yeah, it was great. It was just a really interesting course with, you know, good directions of wind and, you know, a lot of downwind sailing with jibing at different angles, and we won again, beat the mess out of the other boat. But,
it was fun. Are you going to be doing 2 a week again?
Yeah. I mean, unless, like, you know, and I told Mark, who I sail with on Tuesday, is that I told him a couple years ago that there may be times where I can't sail because we're doing stuff with Harder Craftsmanship. He's like, yeah, it's fine. So, you know, I'll go out when, you know, whenever I can. And then obviously if we're, you know, if we need to get a video done or something, then we can work on Tuesdays. But yeah, but Wednesdays, you know, predominantly I always want to sail on Wednesdays because that's my boat with Drew and Charles. And, you know, that's the one we grew up sailing on. So, that'll definitely stay as much as possible. And again, you know, if there's a night that we need to do something because we have a deadline coming up or whatever, got to do what you got to do. I have to trade one hobby for another hobby. It's okay.
Well, if you do 2 in 1 week, you're going to be homework required to go to an antique place.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to. You better find somewhere on your way down there.
Stop by. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be.
I need at least 10 minutes, 10 minute long video.
Do another short on those days.
It's just going to be you pooping. Be like, yeah, take that. Here's your clip. Blunk, blunk. It looks so good. I tracked it.
tracked it. Nasty.
I got your video ready.
But it's just like, I love being out of the water, and it's just such a, like, so nice to, like, yeah, feel the boat, like, you know, adjust to you and make all those, it's such an awesome experience.
There's a feeling that I get when I ski and when I'm on a boat. It's the feeling of a different type of world.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously it's not the same thing, but it's like, oh, this is a different thing. This is it's like a different type of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Being out on a boat sailing, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, because
you feel like you leave something normal behind. Right, and the same thing with going to a mountain and skiing. It's like it's like mini vacations. Everything's different. Everything's done differently. Mm-hmm. So on a boat, like the way you have to go to the bathroom, you got to do stuff, you got to talk to people, is different. Mm-hmm. The way you move is different. Everything's different. Same thing. You go skiing or you go to a mountain. It's like the food place is different. Everyone's dressed differently. Everyone, you're in doing different things. I love it. I love both. And I haven't done both for a long time. But
yeah. See? Yeah, no, I agree.
But see, I don't love it as much as you guys. Right. I don't have the technical knowledge. Speaking of, like, being informed of what's going on, even though I have general good knowledge about what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's fun. But for me, it was always like I could take it or leave it. Right. But it's fine. I've probably been in, 100 races in my life. So it's not like I haven't done it. I've done it plenty. And I do enjoy it, but it depends.
Yeah.
It all depends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just one of those things that, you know, I have just become so familiar with the cruise and the process. And, you know, I love that part of it. I love going out. I love the process of everybody doing their job and everyone working together and everyone understanding, like, it's like one hive mind of understanding what's happening. And you're working in this, like, flow state that just becomes so nice. And just, like, I love the communication. I love the small adjustments to make things better and faster. And everyone's like, oh, what about this thing? Oh yeah, let's try that. Oh, that's nice. We're getting an extra, like, you know, 2 or 3, you know, tenths of a knot. You know, it's just, I love all that attention to detail, right? That's the same reason why I love being in the shop, because I love the attention to detail. I love the small things, the small adjustments, the craftsmanship that goes into it. You know, and yeah, when you're working with someone, like in a shop or like on a construction site, and you, like, everyone understands what's supposed to happen, the flow state becomes really nice. You know, it's like really interesting, really exciting. So I think that's all part of that. I like that kind of that teamwork. And then obviously being on a team, like, you and I have become, like, we work really well together and we flow together in the shop the same way, you know, I've been with, you know, my sailing crew since like 1998, right. You know, like, so going on almost 30 years in the same group. It's
crazy.
But one of the crazy things was, on Tuesday, where I went out sailing for the first time last Wednesday, but we didn't really get out too close to the Key Bridge. But Tuesday night this week, we got pretty close to it. And that was, it was pretty surreal seeing that the Key Bridge gone. And you know, like, from what everybody sees online, the pictures, like, you really see, like, the debris and stuff. But now a lot of that stuff is gone. They're moving it off. So there's not a ton of debris in the water. So you really see, like, both sides of the bridge coming up and then just stopping the gap of where the main bridge span was.
Right.
But there is still a big chunk of stuff, like, sticking up out of the water there. And that's the part that feels weird. Because, like, without that there, it just seems like a bridge under construction. Yeah. Right, because the two parts you see on either end don't look damaged at all, you know, and then you see this big thing sticking up out of the water and all kind of bent and crazy, and that's a little surreal, a little wild. So,
you know, it'd be cool I don't know how we would, to get a chunk or any cut off of that bridge,
right?
And then make something
that would be cool.
You could even do it for charity or something. You sell it off, and whoever, either the families of someone who passed away or some type of rebuild effort.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Cool. I have enough connections on the water and, you know, around Baltimore, and enough people who know people, and, you know, like, different, you know, like, police and firefighters and all. I'm not sure, but there's probably a good chance I could probably get something. You know,
it's actually not get a chunk of it, and then you could, forge something, make something.
Yeah,
a little piece of something new
from the wreckage.
Maybe you could, I don't know. Maybe you could sell it and give the money to the families, or sell it and put money towards. I mean, not that, they're gonna pay for a new bridge anyway, no matter what.
Yeah,
right. I don't really feel like donating to the government. I do that enough every two weeks.
Yeah, right. But give it to the longshoremen or something, foundation for people who work. Man.
Yeah,
who work on the water.
And, the people who helped. The people who. I agree. That'd be cool. You should reach out. See if you can. I don't want much, just a little tiny piece. I want to
make
something and try to do a little charity thing for it. I'm sure if you mention that it's for charity, they'll do it.
Give me 1,000 pounds of steel. I'll make some cool stuff out of it. That's all.
All right, you can come pick it up now. It's a beam.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're going to need poor a old forklift. Now that would be sweet though, cut a chunk off and forge it into something, make some just something cool. Like that'd be great.
And you can make a knife and sell it. Like it'd be, a Maryland flag knife or something, or something with something painted on it, something local.
Right. Yeah. It'd be cool. That's definitely, that would be a worthwhile project, an interesting project, and also just bring more light to, just to the people who are affected by it. Cause you think when it's not something that's close to home, it's like, okay, well, this is this thing that happened, but you don't really understand how that affects all the people around that thing, So the Key Bridge is for Maryland. It's a huge economic bridge because it's there to open up the harbor to the boats that are coming in and out. So it's high enough that all the shipping, which is like in our harbor, Baltimore Harbor is the eighth, highest, whatever ship, it's the eighth, most important port or whatever in the United States. And so we have cars, tons of different industry stuff that ship in and out, but then also it's the route on, if you're going north and south along the East Coast on I-95, truck shipments can't go through the tunnels, and 95 is a tunnel under the harbor in Maryland. So they have to go around the Baltimore Beltway and take the Key Bridge because they can't take dangerous, materials.
Hazardous material.
Right? Yeah, hazardous. So it's also that, it becomes a big, industry, like a big transportation thing. So then all those people who, and everyone who commutes across there, that's, we have two tunnels, but then there's the bridge. Like that's tons and hundreds of thousands of cars that go across that bridge every day. So it really is a pretty big, it has a huge effect on just the community that Baltimore is, including everyone who works in the harbor and then everyone who drives back and forth and commutes. And I mean, we have people who sail with me, and where we sail is right on the north side of the Key Bridge, people who live on the south side of the Key Bridge, who before it took them, 15 minutes to drive across the bridge and over to sail. And now it takes them an hour because they drive over and down through the tunnels and up and around through with all the traffic of all the other 150,000 people who have to divert that way each day. So it's crazy, right? Like how much it's how big of an effect it is on all the little stuff.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of cool just to find a group like the Longshoremen or the Maryland Department of Roads or something, like a union that works for them, and like give back to it or whatever. Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just a weird thing to see and have that feeling of like seeing this catastrophic thing, this big monstrous metal chunk sticking out of the water. That was different than seeing it online.
Yeah, for sure. And but, that's cool to go down and see it, or as cool as seeing it can be. But
yeah, right. But being able to see it in person
is very interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, what do we got?
Cool
recommendations.
Yeah. So my recommendation this week is a new video from a YouTube channel, Bertram Craft and Wilderness. He has a pretty big channel, but apparently he hasn't done a ton of stuff in a while. So he just put out a video, and it obviously was hits home for us because it's making fire like Vikings. blacksmithing, flint knapping, and amadou and campfire. I don't know what amadou is, but he basically like he forged out a flint striker, like a, you know, carbon steel flint striker. And then he napped out some chunks of flint and then went out into the woods and started a little fire and made some stuff, you know, using that striker and flint. So it was, again, like an interesting process. We kind of followed him like going to like a whole day or like multiple days worth of like things. So he like did these kind of small projects along the way, but you follow him through and he found some mushroom, like I don't know what exactly it was, but he found it. Maybe it was like a chaga, you know, to make a tea and stuff, and he kind of pounded it flat. He did a bunch of stuff, but it was all like starting with forging out a flint striker and then, you know, taking flint, going out and starting a fire and kind of doing some stuff. So it was really cool just to see that whole process of like, you know, if you want to go out in the woods and start a fire, you need these things. So let me show you how you get these things to do it. So again, it's a Bertram Craft and Wilderness. And yeah, he's got like, you know, over a million subscribers. So again, one of those guys that doesn't need our help, but but he makes some cool stuff. I've actually seen a bunch of his videos over the years and I really like his work. Kind of really cool, like shows process of doing different stuff, kind of like older style and some, you know, it's kind of like if you, you know, if there was a video about wilderness survival, but from, you know, more like ancient times. So it's nice. Cool. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Before I say mine, when is the Viking Challenge over?
Viking Challenge. Yeah, that's the other video we're working on. let me see. When's
voting done? Over.
Let's see. So voting.
It's 2 weeks, right? It should be like now.
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks. When you vote as judge, you're only a struggle. Let me see. Okay, let me go into the pinned. I know I have it. I was looking just like generally, but I know I have it in the pinned notifications. Let me look at what pins. Okay, so dun 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 dun. Let me slide up real quick. Where link for the vote for favorite judge build. Here's the voting form. Oh, come on. Sorry. I'm looking for it. Yeah, but it's a 2 week.
Yeah, so it's been 2 weeks, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like usually the pins have all the information we need, but it looks like some of them are taken off for anyone playing with. But I should know all this. We have it in the video description. Our own video description, we should have it in there. Let me go to my channel, bring up our video. If you haven't watched our video yet, check it out. Making a Viking battle axe, no forge needed. A fun like axe modification video. All right, let's go here. Let me go more. There's the vibe. Maybe it is not there. Dun, 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 dun. I'm just going to click on this voting link and let's see if that lets us go in and vote. You've already voted. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
probably 2 weeks then.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So if you're listening and you haven't checked out the video and you haven't voted yet, check it out. Let us know what you think because you'll be listening on Friday, May 3rd. And then I think we have basically until Saturday, May 4th. To vote, viewer voting, and then it'll be done, and then we'll see who got the most votes. I will tell you that as of right now, we are not doing great. No. So no, or at least last I looked, because they updated the he sent me the votes. It was a while back though. Let's see. I'm not gonna say exactly what we have, but yeah, it was we were pretty low in the numbers. that's okay. But funny enough, Faraway Forge, I will say, who has like lots of videos with over a million views more recently. He has like tons and tons of like really good and had like tons of, he's got more subscribers than you do. He has less votes than we do. So
yeah, that does go to show you there's, like, you might get a lot of views on certain things, but the people who will do something for you,
right,
is very small.
Right. Yeah.
Not that you, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I won't do anything for a lot of channels that I love.
Right.
I will do nothing for them. You know, it's like the transaction isn't that. The transaction is I'm watching your videos and I enjoy your videos. That's the end of it. And that's fine.
That's it. Like, we're done.
A call to action of, hey, who's going to do something to help us out is very, very small.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's okay. It is what it is. You know, it was fun. I was listening to the Making It podcast and they were talking about, Bob was saying how, you know, the way nature works is things go in seasons, right? So you have like the spring season, everything grows and the growth is super fast and it's great and it's full of life and you're going super strong. And then through the summer, it's awesome. And you're like coasting along at a, you know, beautiful. And then fall happens and things slow down and winter happens and everything dies, you know, and then spring happens again and there's new growth, right? So there's always like nature has, you know, cycles. And so you can't expect, and, you know, not everyone, but people who feel that growth, you know, that really fast growth. And even like, you know, we were a little bit behind the timeline of when YouTube was really going super strong and it was early on. So, but we were still in that kind of upward swing of YouTube in our first couple years. So we did see like pretty quick growth, which was really nice. But, it's just one of those things that, like, as time goes on and as things change, especially with something as young as YouTube in the grand scheme of, you know, just jobs and, you know, like potential earnings, like we just, you never know how things are going to adjust and move on you. So, you know, things change and that's fine. And if you, well, they say if you do something you love, you never work a day in your life. So hopefully we could do something we love and earn some money along the way. And if our expectations are reasonable, then we know that we're still, you know, bringing out content that makes people happy and inspires people. And we get so many good comments all the time, you know, like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more than anything we would have been able to get 10 years ago. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Recommendations. I have a slew of shows.
Okay.
Clarkson's Farm is the third season is coming out. It's Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear and Grand Tour. That show, awesome. So good. Have you watched it yet?
No.
It's on Amazon Prime. You should watch it.
Oh, right.
Two,
on. Nice.
Obviously, there's two seasons. It's really good. It's a, you know, nice. it's a reality show, but it's not like any gimmicks other than the real farm he bought, you know, like 10 years ago when it had someone working it. I mean, he just wanted, you know, a great English rolling hills, you know, farm to just live on. And, the guy retired who ran his farm. So his idea for the show was, you know, like, you know, TV car presenter guy, you know, city guy. It's, you know, it's like Green Acres.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, car guy takes over a farm and learns how to run it. And then you get to meet the cast of characters, which are just the actual guys who work on the farm.
Yeah. Right on.
And they're all great. And it's really beautifully shot. And it actually gives you a great appreciation for farmers and farming and how much work goes into it. Like, there's not a lot of made up drama because it's farming is drama,
right? Yeah,
you know, it just is.
Yeah, know? Things just always happen.
Yeah, and every season he like tries something different. Like, I mean, I'm gonna try sheep, I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna try different crops. And, you know, he's got a huge tractor that he doesn't need and he's trying to learn how to drive it and plant stuff. But then you get really great moments of him. You can tell he's really working the farm. Really harvesting and planting and being out there for a long time with the other guys and learning to actually become a farmer.
Nice.
It's great. So season 3 comes out today or tomorrow. So
right on. Awesome.
It's so good. You got to watch it.
Though. I'll check it out.
It's like one of my favorite things on TV.
Nice.
And then Fallout was great. And again, if you haven't watched Shogun, I'm going to say it again, go watch Shogun. It's like the greatest thing ever. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. It's funny. Corinne and Nicole were watched like the first episode or first two episodes of Fallout. And then Corinne started playing Fallout 4 or whatever it is. The one that we got one. She was like, so she was all about it. She was like, I'm starting. So she's been playing that, which has been fun to watch.
Great,
so.
Great game.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome. Right on, man. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Make sure you get over to YouTube and check out that Viking Axe video and vote for us if you haven't already. Yeah. Give us a few more votes so we're not in the bottom 10. Hopefully we're in the top 10, all out of the 15. So I think we have 15 or something like that. But we always like to be somewhere in the middle to the top, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Actually, would prefer not to win, because then you got to do like the next competitions and you're in the winner's bracket and you're like put another higher level, and I'm like, I don't know about all that, but but you know, the voters, people who are voting, it's just like people who are watching, you know, and it's all opinion, you know. Maybe people just like the other one's better, that's fine too. So but yeah, check out the video is doing well though, which is great. You know, it's definitely doing better than our last almost like a couple years worth of videos. It's doing really well, which is great. So even if we're not getting the votes, it doesn't really matter. We're getting the views, and that's what we want. We want people to check it out. So yeah, check that out and let us know what you think about the 1 hour build video as well, the Viking eating spike, and let us know what you think about like that format. If you like some small things. So I think our kind of plan is to mix those in every couple videos, you know, or like when we have a big video, we'll kind of follow it up with a short video and show you something you can do at home in your own shop, or even if you have like a small blacksmith, you know, setup, stuff like that. So it'd be fun.
Yeah. And the Chris Cash Honey Hole sale.
Tool sale.
We'll be up next week, probably by the time the next podcast comes out. So look for that. That's going to be our first beautifully shot walk around.
Yeah, kind of
hunting for stuff.
Hunting vlog. Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. It's going to be a great kickoff because we already know there's 400 hammers and 30 bandsaws and this and that and all this stuff.
Top tools, tongs
and bunch of
random
stuff,
tools, so. And hammers and right on.
So Bert, take some cash dust and buy some stuff for the video.
Sounds like a plan.
Because you know, like Chris, he'll get you a good deal anyway.
Yeah,
he's never. You can always get a good deal. So if you want something, you might as well just buy from him. Because
I mean, Chris is. Like his idea is that he wants more people to have access to these things, these awesome tools and this like this great tradition of blacksmithing and, you know, using these cool old tools for metalwork. And so, you know, he's happy to like make some money off of what he's doing for his time and effort, but he's not trying to nickel and dime people. He's not trying to, you know, he's not trying to make like 500% on something that's not worth that much. You know, he understands what the worth is, but he also understands that he's trying to get stuff out to people's hands. So if you're in the area, if you're within a couple hours of Frederick, Maryland, look up Chris Cash on Mount Philip Metalworks and send a message out to him. He'll give you his address and you can come by and grab some tools because he's got tons of stuff. He's been showing some pictures of it. He's got a lot of stuff for this one, which is going to be sweet. So,
yeah.
Cool. All right. You guys can also check Devin and us out both on Instagram at the Art of Camera Guy and the Art of Craftsmanship, both those. One more thing before we go. It is May 2nd. And you know what May is? Oh, yeah. May is May for Makers.
That's right.
So if you don't know what May for Makers is, head over to Instagram, head over to at PLSmithed. S-M-I-T-H-E-D, P.L. Smith. That's Luke and Priscilla Smith. We've had them on the podcast before. They're an awesome like maker couple who love just highlighting the maker community. They also have another channel, Instagram page called And They Make. So on both of those, they highlight May for Makers. You can kind of get all the prompts, and it's a daily prompt to post. And really the whole point is just to like have more people to look into the community, learn about more people in the maker community, and then have people's pages pushed, because when you post every day, Instagram likes that and they push your channel. So, you know, we can all grow together with a 30-day challenge and try to get those posts out every day. And you know, if you can't do it every day, that's fine, but you know, follow along, check out Me for Makers on Instagram and learn about some new people. which I was doing today. I just searched the hashtag and I was just scrolling through and looking at new people and like, man, this person's from California. This person's from Texas. Like people all over the states and all over the world, you know, are participating in Made for Makers. So you could be that person too. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's it, guys. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you don't forget to head over to patreon.com/artofcraftsmanship if you want to support us even further outside of watching and following along and helping us buy awesome new cameras. You can also go to patreon.com/artofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. And all that will go back into the channel. All right. That's it for now. Devin, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah.
Everybody else, thank you guys for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.